Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas to improving government effectiveness. My guest today is Tina Nabachi, author of the recent IBM Center Report, A Manager's Guide to Evaluating Citizen Participation. Tina, you did a wonderful job in the last segment of describing the phenomenon of citizen participation, what it exactly is, and how important it is to public administration. But your report also focuses on evaluating actual programs, citizen participation programs. For our listeners, what is program evaluation, and would you outline the basic steps of program evaluation?
Sure. First, I will say program evaluation is so important. It is how we know if what we're doing is successful, if it's effective, if it's achieving what we intended it to achieve. So we can think about evaluation research as the systematic application of social science research procedures for assessing the conceptualization, design, implementation, and utility of intervention programs. And we do program evaluation on almost every issue in public administration, from education policy to environmental policy to transportation. We try to think about whether what we're doing is achieving its intended effects. And so it's really important to also evaluate citizen participation. So there are five basic steps of program evaluation. The first step, obviously, is pre-design planning and preparation, and this is the most important step. It helps us figure out what we want to achieve with our evaluation, how much time, money we want to spend, who we're going to work with, and who's going to be interested in the evaluation. So it's setting up the goals for evaluation, and everything else connects back to this planning and preparation stage. The second step in program evaluation is to actually design the evaluation to figure out what we're going to do in light of our goals for the evaluation. So we need to develop research questions, measurable performance indicators, figure out our design strategy, and determine how we're going to collect data based on what's available to us and what we need. The third step is to actually do the evaluation, to implement it, to take the steps necessary to make sure we're collecting high-quality data and that we are collecting that data and storing it in a way that we can analyze it. Then you do the data analysis in the fourth step. You interpret those results. You try to figure it out in a way that matches with your overall evaluation design. And then finally, we need to write the evaluation report and distribute those results. So we have to think about what results need to be communicated and to whom those results need to be communicated. We try to determine the best methods for communicating those results, whether it's in a report or, maybe a YouTube clip or some kind of a presentation. We prepare those results in an appropriate format, and then we disseminate them. We share with others what we have learned.
Tina, what are some of the common evaluation design strategies?
Absolutely. There are numerous ways to do designs. One strategy is to use a case study where we focus on one or more cases. In this context, it would be a case where participation was used. And this helps us get detailed descriptions about what happened in the process and what the outcomes were of participation. We can do a time series design where we're collecting information over a certain time span. This helps us to assess whether there are changes in certain indicators over time. We can use quasi-experimental designs where we use naturally occurring groups, for example, those who participated in a program and those who did not. So this helps us to assess whether outcomes are the result of participation or something else. We can also use an experimental control group design, and this is where we select individuals and randomly assign them to participate or not participate in the program. And this really helps us ensure that the outcomes we're seeing are a result of the program and not a result of something else. And then within those categories, there are numerous differences and numerous subtle types, but I would say that those are the major categories of evaluation strategies.
So as I understand it, Tina, evaluations are important because they are used to judge the merit or worth of a program and can yield numerous benefits for agencies. Evaluating citizen participation has interrelated benefits. I'd like for you to highlight some of those key benefits.
Well, in my mind, the biggest benefit to evaluating citizen participation is that it helps us learn what works where, when, why, and how. And ultimately, that knowledge will help us improve citizen participation in the work of government. But citizen participation has numerous other benefits. For example, it can help with accountability. You know, the public, elected officials, agency personnel, stakeholders, they all want to know if the programs that are being funded with tax dollars are actually having the intended effects. And answering this accountability question can only be done through evaluation. So evaluation helps provide a mechanism of quality control. Evaluation can also help public managers monitor and improve the implementation and management of their programs. It can give us a fresh look at programs, identify areas for program improvement. It can help us track changes over time. And all of this can help managers determine whether a program should be modified, expanded, continued, or canceled. We also are in an era of resource scarcity. So evaluation can help us determine whether public monies and resources are being used appropriately and efficiently. So this information can help us justify programs when those programs are at risk of being cut or scaled back. It can help us identify costs and benefits of public participation, whether participation saves time and money. Public participation is also mandated under numerous laws. So evaluation can help managers determine whether their public participation programs are adhering to and meeting the intentions of those various pieces of legislation. It can help with ethics. It can help managers make sure that programs have fair and appropriate representation, that participants understand the impacts of their contributions, and that programs are fostering democratic values such as transparency, accountability, legitimacy. When we do evaluation right, it can help build ownership of problems, of processes, of outcomes, both within the agency and outside of the agency. So evaluation can demonstrate to allies, to stakeholders, to citizens, that the agency is interested in conducting participation and improving those processes. And that can help generate interest among outside groups to assist with the evaluation. And then finally, from an academic perspective, I would say that evaluation can also help us with research and theory. So it can help us improve the study and practice of participation. Most of the research on participation is dealt with questions about scope. Who participates? How many participate? How is participation structured? But we've had less research on questions about quality. Is participation effective? What are its impacts? What are its outcomes? And answering these questions can only be done if we begin to evaluate public participation processes in a systematic way.
Your report outlines two types of evaluations that are relevant for assessing citizen participation. I'd like for you to describe the two types of evaluations that you focus in on in your report, and more particularly, what are the differences between process and impact evaluations?
Sure. Those names are actually, they're a little bit misleading. A process evaluation really focuses on implementation and management, but an impact evaluation focuses on the outcomes and results of a program. So I would say that the easiest way to understand the difference is that process evaluation answers the what question. What is the program intended to be? Does the program match its design? And impact evaluation answers the so what question. What are the outcomes of this program? What are the results of the program? Is it achieving its intended objectives? So with a process evaluation, we're focusing on inputs and outputs to better understand how a program is being implemented and managed and where and how that implementation and management can be improved. With an impact evaluation, we're focusing on the outcomes, on the results, so that we can determine whether a program produced its intended effects. Process and impact evaluations, they also vary on how they're used. So, for example, process evaluation is really identifying areas for program development and improvement, whereas impact evaluation is to see whether it's achieving its intended goals and outcomes, whether it's worth its costs, how we might modify, expand, or eliminate the program. And then both types of evaluations have different types of audiences who are likely to be interested. Because process evaluation focuses on implementation and management, it's most likely to be of interest to program managers, to staff, to other agency officials. The results of an impact evaluation are likely to be of interest to a wider variety of audiences, so not just those within the agency, but also legislators, elected officials, academics, researchers, practitioners, those who participated in the program, and just kind of the general citizens.
Tina, your report is a manager's guide, and it offers very practical insights. What are the three most important questions to keep in mind when conducting a process evaluation? And could you outline the key evaluation areas, main questions, and most important data sources to properly conducting such an evaluation?
Sure. So when you're conducting a process evaluation, you're focusing again on the management and implementation of your citizen participation project or program. So you want to ask three important questions. What is the program intended to be? What are we delivering with this program in reality? And then what are the gaps between program design and delivery? When we think about process evaluation, there are at least five areas that we need to look at. One is program organization. So this is really looking at the design and assessing things like whether the program is implemented and operates as it was designed. Do we have the appropriate directives, guides, and standards for program administration? Do the staff and participants understand their responsibilities? Are we giving them enough information to enable smooth operation? Do we have the right numbers of staff? Are we creating working relationships? Another area we can look at is service delivery and how we are actually delivering the public participation program. So we want to look at things like access. Who are our neutrals or the facilitators who are moderating the participation process? Do people understand the process that's being used? Are we using it on the right issues? We can also look at things like general outputs or process-specific outputs and specific program features. For the data, a lot of this can just be gathered within the program. So we can set up simple archival databases. We can talk to the personnel, the staff who are running the program. We could also talk with participants, other stakeholders. So collecting data on this is primarily internal. It comes from the staff and the information you already have.
Tina, one of the things you really try to achieve in this report was to make it usable for public managers, and you do it by illustrating key concepts through specific case studies, and I found it very useful. Your report identifies efforts in both Pinellas County, Florida, and the Seattle Neighborhood Planning Program. Would you elaborate on these two case studies?
Well, one of the things I really tried to achieve in this report was to make it usable for public managers. And so I wanted to illustrate a lot of the concepts by giving them quick examples of how others had done program evaluation. So throughout the report, there are a bunch of examples. One of them that you mentioned was done by the Metropolitan Planning Organization in Pinellas County, Florida. And they had designed a citizen participation process with the goal of keeping the public informed about its activities. So they wanted the public to know what the planning organization was doing and how it was doing that. So to evaluate their information activities, they built a lot of mechanisms directly into their website so that they could collect data on several different indicators. So, for example, how many hits were there on the website? How many times were relevant documents or maps downloaded or viewed? They created a pop-up survey on the web so that they could understand how citizens stayed informed about the planning organization's activities. They also developed and implemented an internal tracking system so that they could capture data about their public outreach events. So they just created a very simple user interface in which staff members record data about events. For example, the title of the event, the date, the location, how many people attended. And right now, the Metropolitan Planning Organization is working to develop mechanisms to track how many comments are received from the public and how those are handled. So this is an example of just a really simple mechanism where they could count information. It's collecting, counting information. Another example was the Seattle Neighborhood Planning Program, and this one was really interesting. So in 1994, Seattle created a neighborhood planning program that encouraged citizens to participate in the planning for the growth of the city. And by 1999, over 16,000 citizens had participated in this planning process over 38 different neighborhoods in the city. And so the city was really struggling to understand why some participation efforts were seen as being effective while others were not. They wanted to identify the barriers to participation, how participation could be used in the future, whether participation was inclusive, accessible, and open to all citizens. So they decided to evaluate their process. And their process was really neat because not only did they work with an interdepartmental staff team and an outside consultant, but they also talked to citizens who were active in the participation process, and they got input on their evaluation design from them. They held a public forum to present the results of their evaluation before finalizing that report. So there was participation not just in planning, but also in the evaluation process itself. And they used multiple sources of data, so it was a much bigger example of a process evaluation. So they had archival data that they obtained from city staff. They did a mail survey to participants. They did interviews with city staff, citizens, and people in other cities that had neighborhood-based participation efforts. And what they found by doing this was that they were able to understand why, where, and how the citizen participation processes in Seattle were working, and to identify ways to figure out how to improve citizen participation, how to make participation more effective. So in both cases, both of those examples, one is very simple, one is a little bit more complex, but both evaluations provided the organizations useful information about their participatory processes, how they were being managed, how they were being implemented, and what could be done to improve them. And that's really the point of process evaluation.
What are the three most important questions to keep in mind when conducting an impact evaluation? We will explore this question and so much more when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.